Hello, Michael. Great to be with you, mate.
It's really nice to catch up with good people. Now, you and I met at a club reunion for the Latrobe Footy Club a month or two, to acknowledge the 1970 state final winning team and the two premierships in the 2010s. Harvey, the football club is so steeped in history, isn't it? It's just a wonderful place, the Latrobe Footy Club.
Yes, look, it certainly is, and I've just been looking through the centenary book. It's from 1881 to 1981, and so that gives you some idea, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Back so many years ago, you hear about. I lived in Adelaide for quite a while, and you always hear about the stories about Port Adelaide and how they were first founded, and they're very, very proud of their heritage and etc. And I know Latrobe people are really happy with that and very proud of it. You were part of a real golden era in the late 60s and 70s, and we'll speak about that as we go along. But how did you make your way to Latrobe all those years ago?
Well, I'm a sort of born and raised Latrobe boy. I was born here and I've been here ever since. And I played footy through the underage sides and so forth. We played under 16, and we were lucky enough in that too to win a coastal premiership under a wonderful coach in Bronc Holland. We had an Eastern and Western division in that, so we won the Eastern and we were able to defeat Marist College in the Coastal Premiership way back then.
So you're only a small of stature man, so you're always a rover or a wingman, because I can remember in the halcyon days of Latrobe, you mixed it up a bit. I think you played on the wing and also as a rover. So size never really worried you? You seemed to be able to cope with that?
Yes, yeah, that's right. I was lucky enough to have a bit of endurance about me. I used to train hard and I used to love running on the ball, mainly as a rover, and I used to love to get in and under, really. That's what I used to enjoy. Yeah.
And during those years, 1969, we'll talk about that, a real breakthrough premiership for Latrobe. But prior to that, a man by the name of Wally Clark, who was a very good cricketer too, by the way, he put in a lot of work to, I guess, set up the list in some regard. And Doc came in and just put his mark on it, and then also a bit of finishing touch. Wally Clark was pretty important back then too, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. Wally certainly was. He was a rover. He came from Fitzroy, actually, and he came here in 64, and he was here right through to 68. And look, he did. He was a great mentor for me, and he did. He gave the club a sort of some belief, I think, and they got through and played off in grand finals. Couldn't quite win one though, but he certainly set things up.
Can you remember the buzz around the place when one D Baldock was appointed as coach and was coming to look after the Demons? It must have been fever pitch back then, because Darryl Baldock revered so much coming back to coach Latrobe.
Yes, it was unbelievable, really. And I remember I worked on the farm here at Latrobe, and we used to have a gentleman coming to visit to artificially inseminate our cattle. And he came one morning and Dad said to him, "You know who we got for coach next year?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, who?" Dad said, "It's Darryl Baldock." He said, "Oh, come on, get real." He said, "No one will believe that." But that's what it was like, wasn't it? It was unbelievable, really.
Well, I might have said this to you when we're at the reunion a month or two ago, that I used to go to the football and get my parents to take me to the football to watch Darryl Baldock, and I was an East Devonport supporter. That's the impact that Doc had on football on the northwest coast.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I was lucky enough to see him play before he went to Melbourne, actually. And a little story about that: one day we were playing Cooey down at West Park. Doc was before he'd gone to the VFL, and he played on a gentleman named Ron Kingston. Now, Ron Kingston was a great halfback for Collingwood for many, many years, and he was coaching Cooey. And Doc just, that day, he just was absolutely brilliant. You had to see it to believe it, playing on a champion player like Ron Kingston. And we were sitting along the fence there, and there were some people along from us, and Dad couldn't contain himself. he got up and he walked around and he said, "Wow, what a player." And and we looked along at those people sitting along from us, and they were Kiwi supporters, and they just nodded their heads. So there you are. That's we knew we had something special, didn't we?
Yeah, no doubt. And a man who had so much balance, but basically you couldn't knock him. You couldn't knock him over. He was just so solid through the hips, and his balance was just incredible. Both sides of the body too.
Yep, that's right. Well, he was strong. Yeah, he's certainly strong, wasn't he? And that's right. Once he got near that ball, it was his, wasn't it?
It was. Now, apart from Doc, who obviously had quite, and we'll speak about the premierships a little later on. But apart from Doc, who were your mentor? Who taught you the most about playing good football?
Well, when I came into the side as a young guy, I would say unfortunate, but very fortunate to play against some very good players, and I learned so much from them. Opposing Rovers such as Kevin Simons, Donnie Harrington at Penguin, Lance Cox at Devonport, and they gave me a hiding, but I learned from them, and I found that playing against them so valuable. I did learn so much from those guys.
Because sometimes, Harvey, they'll take you to the ball and they'll take you to places in a game that you may not thought that you would actually run to in your you learning the craft. And that's a really good point that you make, because you can learn so many lessons from your opposition.
Yes, that's for sure. And Doc always had this good saying he used to often say to me, "Harv, you got to be where the ball is, not where the ball ain't." You know, and I thought, well, now that's true enough, isn't it?
It definitely is. Now, you played in a wonderful time in the NWFU, and you came up against some really fierce opponents. Were those men that you mentioned then the toughest to stand as far as a rover is concerned, and someone learning their craft? Were they the ones that seemed to be the toughest? Were there someone that used to target you and just say, "Young Harvey, you better watch your step because I'm gunning for you"?
Oh yeah. The Rovers they just ran. They were after the ball. They made the ball their object. But we used to, as Rovers, we'd rest up in the forward pocket, and you'd come across some very tough back pockets, I can tell you, in those days. And this was back in the one umpire system, and there was always a bit going on behind the play, and us little guys, we. Resting in the forward pocket there, and we were sort of, maybe we'd fluke a goal occasionally, and the back pocket didn't like that very much, and we'd certainly feel it, you know. But the best back pocket I played against, and he was a fair player, this guy, was Caden Edwards at Wynyard.
Yep.
He was an absolute champ, and he was a high flyer, and often he'd wander off the forward pocket he was playing on, and he'd take a screamer over the back of Doc and his opponent out of centre-half back, and Doc would look around and say, "Hey, get him out of here, take him out to the boundary," you know. Mm. So he was a champion player, Caden Edwards.
Yeah, I can remember Caden Edwards. Stay with us, Harv. We'll take a break. We'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more about the drought of 36 years back in 1969. My very special guest is Harvey Fox, one of the elite Rovers in the Bulldog era. Welcome back to the Sideline View. My very special guest is a man who played on the wing in premierships and grand finals for La Trobe. His name is Harvey Fox, and very, very happy to have Harvey on board. Harvey, we're talking about some of the toughest to stand, and well, that's something you mentioned, Caden Edwards. But after a drought of 36 years under the guidance of the great Darryl Baldock, the Demons in 1969 beat Ulverston 9-10-64 to 4-5-29 on a mud pile at West Park. This changed the course of the club in a big way, didn't it?
Yes, it certainly did, and it was a mud pile. We'd beaten Ulverston in the second semi on a very fast and hard surface, but Ulverston got through to come back last in the grand final on it was mud down there at West Park, and back in the day, a lot of players would would know that it was it didn't take the rain too well down there at the Old West Park, that's for sure.
Particularly when the tide came in, it seemed.
Yeah, they used to say, if you're kicking with the tide in the last quarter, you had a good chance, you know.
And what about the buzz through La Trobe when you went back there after winning that that grand final after that drought of 36 years? You must have been rock stars back then.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I do remember the supporters just streaming onto the ground that day, and as we mentioned, there was mud, but they didn't care. and some of them finished up as muddy as we, as us players were, that's for sure. But when we got back to the town, yes, well, look, you had to see it to believe it. I've never seen anything like it. The street was lined, and we rode on the back of a truck up and down the street, and it was something to be seen, to be believed, actually.
Yes, it would have been wonderful to actually be part of. Now, then the club went on a phenomenal run of grand final appearances, including losses in 73 and 74 as the era was sort of coming to a close. Is there one game, either the 73 or the 74 loss, that you thought, you know what, if we'd have done one or two things differently, we could have won those games? Is there one particular game, either 73 or 74?
Yes, I think 73, we were perhaps a little bit slow to make a couple of positional changes, I think. And I think that was our undoing. But look, Kooi that year were a very good side, and they would have taken a lot of beating, even if it was at our best. So I think, you know, they were probably deserved winners that day.
Let's backtrack a few years now to the 1970, that state final win against Clarence at Devonport. The team is inducted into the Tasmanian Hall of Fame for that victory. Harvey, that performance to win a state final against a quality outfit in Clarence, you won by 35 points. You kicked a couple of goals in that match. That must have been a big career highlight for you.
Oh, yes, that certainly was. And the actual lead up to that state final was interesting too, Michael, because 1970 we played Wynyard in a second semi, and they gave us an absolute hiding. And during that week, we had a huge flood through La Trobe. La Trobe can do a very good flood, as you know.
They can, yes.
And our training was disrupted, so Wynyard gave us a hiding in the second semi, but we were able to come back through and play them in the grand final at Devonport on a very fast track. And and that was, I would think that would be the toughest game that I've ever played. They were coached by Max Urquhart, and they'd been coached by John Coughlin, and they were just as hard as nails, that Wynyard side. And yeah. And I spoke to the umpire, Reg Barling. He umpired us that day, and we were able to win that game. And but I mean, I always said that game was won on the Thursday night, because our selection committee and Doc, they made some very good changes. They named the side out of position, like, example, our fullback was named on the forward flank and so forth.
Yeah.
And Wynyard said, oh, look, yeah, tell us another one. We're not going to believe that. But when we lined up, we actually lined up as picked, and we got off to a flyer, put Wynyard on the back foot, and we were able to come away with that win. But Reg Barling, the umpy, he dropped into La Trobe for a drink with us as he went back to Hobart, and he came up and spoke to me, and he said, Harvey, he said, that was one tough game. I said, yes. I agree. I felt Max Urquhart at one stage quite solidly, and he sat me down. And Reg Barling said to me, he said, look, I didn't quite know what to do. He said, I stood in the centre of that ground. I held the ball up to the timekeepers, and I could hear it going on around me. I'll get you today. You won't get off this ground alive. So he said to me, I thought, now what'll I do? He said, one thing I can do is bounce the ball, which he did, and it was on. And but he used two words that day, which he is a very experienced umpire. He called play on.
Yep.
He didn't pull it up for small free kicks. He just said, play on. And we were able to win that game, but my word, that was one tough game. And then we came through to play Clarence, yes, in that state final. And Clarence were touted as the best side to come out of the South for many years, but we were able to get over them. They were coached by John Bingley, the mighty John Bingley.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a star-studded side, but that day we were able to get the best of them, yeah.
Darryl Baldock booting 5, Dixon 3, Huxtable 3, and as I said, yourself, Harvey, kicking a couple of goals. Baldock being the best player, and John Gillard, who has to be, I would say, one of the very best players to actually come along and play footy on the coast. He was something special, John Gillard, wasn't he, a centre-half back?
Look, he was, and it was interesting that day. He lined up on John Bingley. John Bingley played centre-half forward for Clarence that day, and Gillard centre-half back for us. And Gillard said after the game, he said, the count said to me, he said, mate, every time your team kicks a goal, you're going to hit the ground. And and that's what he did. Every time we kicked a goal, he'd backhand John Gillard. But Gillard got up, and he played on, and he gave the count a bit of a hiding that day, and we were able to win it, yeah.
Yeah, fabulous performance. Harv, just back on yourself, when did you retire? Was it forced on you, or did you just have enough? How old were you?
Yeah, it was during 74. I would have been probably, early 30s, I would say, from memory. And, I sort of had enough, really. I'd sort of gone as far as I could, you know.
Yeah, and just made the call. And just before we let you go, football is all about people. And you had a list at that reunion of those that had passed since that golden era. There were many, many people. They were committee men. There were, I think, a number of players. And I'll let our listeners know how many there were. But it seems incredible that time moves on, doesn't it? We all know that because we get older. But tell us about some of those people that have actually passed since that golden era.
Yes, well, I don't like naming names, but look, I will name these the players that have passed away.
Yeah. Yep.
Out of those teams, and there's eight of them, and there was Doc, Johnny Gillard, Cole Jaffray, Kerry O'Hearn, Nettie Gillam, Tony Jackson, Bob Hickman, and Rod Butler.
Yeah.
Now, they've all passed away. Most of the committee members from back in those days have passed away, being a little bit older then.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly ran up a list, and I found there was over 20 of them. And then we get to the supporters, don't we? And we had a huge supporter base. Many of those people have passed away, but I think the good thing about our game, Michael, is the fact that there are many players in the side, and therefore you meet many, many people. You meet their families, you meet their friends, and so over the years you keep meeting all these people that you've had an association with. When I finished at La Trobe, I went and coached in the Deloraine Association up at Elizabethtown. Again, I met a huge amount of people up there who were still friends. You know, I still meet them, and wonderful, wonderful people you meet over the years. So, you know, it is absolutely, it's a team game, and such a huge following, isn't it?
It is. Harvey, thanks very much for your time. Just brilliant that you would share 15 or 20 minutes to chat about all of that. When I met you at the reunion, it was an absolute pleasure, and you were fortunate to play in that era. You needed to be good enough. You were. Thanks very much for coming on the Sideline View. I appreciate your time.
Pleasure to be with you, Michael. Thank you very much.